It's out of your hands. You've done all you can do. You've given God the problem. It's no longer up to you.
You've prayed the prayer of faith. You're standing on God's truth. While you're waiting on the answer, He has a question for you.
Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations that He's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God?
Only believe, trust His word. Plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly. It's clear how much He loves you. Look at all He's done. For all your questions, there is really only one.
Is anything too hard for God? Are there situations that He's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? He's able, He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Ooh, is anything hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations that He's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God?
I know my Lord is able to carry me.
Is anything too hard for God?
All right, we should have a handout, so go ahead and get that out. That's where the scripture is. You can turn in your Bible if you'd like. Looking around, it's a pretty good crowd for a lot of you coming back from fine arts. Thanks for being faithful. Staying awake's where it's going to be at. All right. My sister leaned over to me and she said, if you see me falling asleep, just yell or something. I said, all right, we can do that. But we will hope that through what we have to say and what we see in God's word, we can stay awake without that yelling. All right. So let's look here. I'm just going to kind of look at a story that we've read not too long ago, if you're following along with the church, the Bible reading schedule, from Numbers chapter 31. Numbers chapter 31. Now, here's what's going on here. You see the setting there in your handout. I'll use this while I read, and we'll go kind of back and forth there. This is what's going on. Been a long time in the wilderness. And by the way, as I read through this, getting a little ahead of myself, and Pastor Myers, I'm sure you're like this, when it's building time, I see a lot of scripture through the lens of the building, things that happen through the lens of what's going on in our church. But when I look at this, I see a lot of parallels. And I don't think I'm pulling too hard to see parallels between our church and what's going on here. But they were right there. They could see the promised land right over the river. I mean, it was right there. They had just laid hands on a new leader that was going to lead them to greater conquest than they had ever seen in the past 40 years. And if you look there, that's what's going on. But before they went in, God said, here it is. He says, I want you to do one more thing. Then, Moses, you're going to be totally off the scene. And Joshua, you're going to lead them into the promised land. He said, I want you to destroy the Midianites. I mean, these people had been a pain on their side, thorn on their side for years and years and years and years. Remember a couple chapters before, the Midianitish woman came in and Phinehas had to get, I like it, the human shish kebab, right? Had to go out and take care of business. And but they just spent, they were immoral and they got them to believe bad doctrine and all that stuff. So God said this, God said, I want you to go and I want you to destroy them. That's where we find ourselves here. So Moses went and Moses said, all right, according to God's will, we're going to get 12,000 men of war. Now, they were going against a foe of tens of thousands, quite outmatched. And by the way, doesn't God do that a lot of times? He makes us the underdog. How many of you like to be the underdog? Now, we like to win as the underdog, but we don't like to go in as the underdog, right? And so, but God likes to do that. You look at Gideon, look all over the place. And so they were the underdog. But so Moses got 1,000 from each tribe. That's where we pick up here. And the Lord said to Moses, avenge the children of Israel, of the Midianites. Afterwards, thou shalt be gathered to thy people. So Moses spake unto them, saying, arm yourselves unto the war. Let them go against the Midianites and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe 1,000 throughout all the tribes of Israel shall you send to the war. And they war, verse 7 also, against Midian, the Midianites. And the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males, a lot of them, if you look in this chapter. They took all the spoil, the prey, both of men and beasts. So what happened? They went out, they fought against Midian. God sent 12,000 against a huge host. They went and they fought. God worked mightily for them. And they came back with great spoil. Not only did they come back with spoil, they came back with thousands and thousands of captives. You're talking 12,000 guys with tens of thousands of captives. Now, because of what God had said, they were only able to keep 1,000 captives only. God had blessed and given abundantly. They came back, they showed it to Moses. Let's look here in Numbers chapter 31. So, they come back, they go, they fight, they defeat a much greater foe, they get a bunch of spoil, they get necklaces, they get arm jewelry. I was looking up what all this stuff is. Necklaces, bracelets, jewelry, all that kind of stuff. They come back. They come before Moses with this huge spoil. The Bible's going to call it the booty here. And so you'll see they have it all. They round up all these people, and they're standing before Moses, and they start to count everything that they had come back with. This is amazing. Look here. Just 12,000 guys, and they come back, and the booty here, what being the rest of the prey which the men of war had caught, was 600,000, 70,000, and 675,000 sheep. That's a lot of baing. And you imagine, they're just driving all these sheep. So 675,000 sheep. Next, 70,000, 72,000 beeves. What's that? Cows, oxen, bulls, and all that. 61,000 donkeys, we'll say. And 32,000 persons they were able to keep. That's what they were going to keep. So they bring this. Imagine, they're standing here before Moses. 12,000 guys, 32,000 captives. All this spoil. That's not even counting the jewelry that they have. And let's look here. And so they stand here. Afterward, God gave them instructions for dividing the spoil. Look what it says. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the sum of the prey, both of man and beast, thou, Eleazar the priest. By this time, I mean, this is way before, right before the promised land. Aaron's already passed away. Thou, the priest, and the chief of the fathers. Divide the prey in two parts, between them that took the war and between the congregation. We're going to skip some here. And levy a tribute unto the Lord of the men of war, which went out to battle. One soul of 500. He said, because I saved them, go ahead and give me an offering because of it. And so we won't read the rest. What's going on here? So this is what God says. Imagine, okay? 675,000 sheep, 71,000 donkeys, a whole bunch of, I think, or 61,000 donkeys, a bunch of spoil, just spoil. God said, I want you to do this. He said, you 12,000 that went to war, you get half the spoil. Not a bad deal, right? The rest of the congregation which stayed back, I think in our Bible reading today, David did the same thing after Ziklag, but he said, those that stayed back, you get half of it. But before you do, don't forget to give God his offering, give God his portion. And so look here what they were to give to God. First, they gave to God a portion. They gave him 675 sheep. Not a bad about, I think they ended up giving just a couple percentage points to the Lord. 61 donkeys, 72 cows, 32 captives. That's it. They were also to give half to the congregation, half to the men of war. So they split it up. They started to go their way. However, comma, the captains of thousands, the captains of hundreds, they got to thinking. They started to walk away, and I don't know how they divided it up. I don't know, okay, you get, 10,000 sheep, 10,000. I don't know if they all had their staffs, and these 12,000 guys are just leading all their stuff back to their house. I have no idea, but I do know that they got their spoil, and I do know that they were on their way back home, and they got to thinking. They got to talking to each other. They got to looking at their men, and they looked at the men that had gone out to war, and they look, and I can just imagine a captain of 1,000 looking at his 10 men over 100 and saying, what's the count? Captain of 100 says, well, I count, all my men are here. Next guy looks, all my men are here. How about you? Come to another captain of 1,000. How about you? You talk to your captains? Yeah, all our guys are here. And they look and they come to the realization that out of 12,000 men that went to fight against tens of thousands of men, not a single guy was missing. So they stopped. They thought, wow, God sure has been good to us. How can we take all this spoil? I know we've given our offering. I know we've done what God said to do. But how can we take all this that we have given and just walk away? And so what they did, they got together and they went back to Moses. And this is what they said. Look here with me if you would, please. The officers over thousands of the host and captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses. They said unto Moses, thy servants have taken a sum of the men of war which were under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. We recounted. We have therefore, because of this, because of the sum we've taken, because of what we've thought of, because of what God's done for us, brought an oblation to the Lord, what every man hath gotten. You see all that they gave there. Skip down a little bit. And all the gold of the offering they gave, or they offered up to the Lord, was 16,750 shekels. Look down there. And Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold. You know they were Baptist preachers because they come with a huge, big old offering and they took it all without even saying a word. Like, here it is, that's right. And so, just kidding, kind of. But, so they brought this offering, this huge offering. They said, look, I know we've given. But after all God's done for us, we got to do more. And so they give this to Moses and the priest and they take it. And look what they said. They took it. They didn't really say anything, but they took it and they used it for a memorial for the children of the Lord. You say, why'd they do that? They got to thinking, after all God's done for us, how can we not give more? And I was curious, how much did they give? And I tried to, best I could, with a conservative estimate, translate it to today's currency. Here it is, the numbers. 132 men. There would have been 12 captains over thousands and 120 captains of hundreds. They brought 77,780 ounces. That's a conservative estimate. Some people say 10,000. Some people say 11,000. In today's economy, translated, 14.5 ounces equal a troy pound, which is how they get gold. You take that times 1350, which is today's going rate for gold. If they were to translate it today, that'd be an offering of $716,994 between 132 men. Divide that up by the 132 men. That's an offering of about $5,431 each. Now, you got to understand, these were not super ultra wealthy men. They were not. They lived in the wilderness in tents for crying out loud. They hadn't yet gone into the promised land. They hadn't taken possession of houses. They were nomads traveling for 40 years through the wilderness. They went. God had blessed them. God had increased them. And so, of what they had, they said, I know that we've already given an offering. We're going to do more. And for time, I'm going to hasten and skip a couple things here. We know that their offering was accepted. We know that their offering was used. What's the application? Look, and I just want to kind of tie it up real quick. We are in building mode. And like I said, it's hard, at least the pastoral staff, to not look through the lens of Scripture. And I hope all of us as a church family during this time, I hope that when we read Scripture and when we go throughout our day, we see things through the lens of the building. Talking to Brother Chim, I think he might be in discipleship. And Brother Chim is, I told Brother Ross in an email, he's probably the best salesman on our staff. And we're talking about escape rooms. And he goes, we were just talking on Tuesday night. He goes, you know what we ought to do? We ought to create one downstairs and charge tickets, put it on OfferUp all summer and give the money to the building. Like, amen. Brother Myers will take any of it, all right? But we can do this and we can do that. It's on our mind. Everything we talk about, a lot of times it'll tie back to the building. As I read this, I could not help but think about our building offering Sunday. As we prepare our hearts for May 20th, and by the way, I hope we are. I hope we're praying, and maybe more than ever before, I've prayed about our building. Please, please do so. What are three things that we can see? I just want to see three things about this offering that they give that we can apply. Three things. Here it is. First, I want to look at why they gave. Then I want to look at how they gave. And then I want to look at the result of their giving. Here it is. Number one, why did these men give? After having given before and after having sacrificed before, after having put their very lives on the line, they did all this for the Lord and for Moses. Why'd they come back with another offering? Why? We just read it in Numbers 31. Look there, the bold and underline. It says, thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war, which were under our charge. There lacketh not one of us. In a nutshell, what'd they say? Why did they give again? Why did they give? And I'm going to show in a minute. I believe they gave all the jewels that they had. I believe we can see that through the wording there. Why? You know why? Because they took a step back after the dust settled, after the war was over. They took a sum. They thought, they meditated on God's goodness. Can I say this? God's been good to our church. He really has. Even through the trials and sometimes uncertainty. Look, there have been times where I'm sure you, like myself, going back 5 years when my dad first got ill, I'm sure there were times where we didn't know what was going to happen next month, but God has been faithful. I remember going back to when the economy went south. Brother Ross, you'll remember this conversation with my mom when you were going back and forth about should we have one-ply tissue or two-ply and which one here in the bathrooms and which one was going to be more cost-effective because we were that tight financially. We're still here and we're okay. We haven't defaulted. We've paid Southern California Edison. We've paid our debt. We've paid our creditors. We've been taken care of. God's been good to our church. People are still being saved. The bills are still being paid. And by the way, God's good. God's good. Not only has he been good to our church, God's been good to our families. Look, and I'm sure that every family's got some issue, all right? Because we're human and families have issues. They say, like a brownie, right? Mostly sweet with a couple nuts. But look, God's been good to our families. Yesterday, I looked at the roll of our Bible college. 51% of our Bible college students are second generation Christians who their parents are probably here tonight. See, what's the point? I'm glad that we're not a church that is getting older and older and older and the next generation is being left behind. No, they could go out and make money. They could go out and do and pursue the world. But instead, they're choosing to give God a few years of their life and see what God will do. God's been good to our families. He's been good to our children. He's given us good models like Pastor Myers, Pastor Esposito, Brother Esposito and others that we can model our families after. God's been good to our families. Not only that, God's been good in our building process. I think of, remember that first meeting when we were trying to get the plans approved? Now, some of you might not have been here. If you don't know, it wasn't very encouraging. Okay, now I was like Peter, I was afar off because it's over a decade ago and my dad thought I was too young. So I was standing out there and they were all inside and I didn't know exactly what was going on. My dad came home and he wasn't too thrilled. But, they came out and they basically said, we're going to fight tooth and nail. We are not for what you're doing. I remember when they came out and they said, oh, we've got lawyers. Do you remember at the city meeting when God sent Brother Gibbs himself? I remember. I was sitting close to the front. And I remember when Brother Gibbs quietly walked over. We had gone to Brazilian barbecue with him. He likes that stuff. earlier in the day, and he told us what he was going to tell the city lawyer. So I knew what he was going to say. I think you were there, Tim. And he walked across. He said something to the extent of, we filed plenty of lawsuits when the city has been harsh on churches, and we've not lost one. Guess what? They approved the project. I remember when they pulled out the environmental card. You remember that? They're going to pollute the environment with their three buses. I remember when they pulled out the environmental card, and what did God send? God sent an environmentalist to come with her own instruments, a well-known one in the city, by the way, to get our measurements and say, they are not polluting anything. I remember when the second biggest city group came out against us, and God sent the biggest city group to our aid. Look, God's been good in our building to this point, and he'll be good going forward. Look, we could get tempted to take a step back, and we could get tempted to say, maybe this year I'll keep my tax return all to myself. Maybe this year I'll give a little bit less. But here it is. If we, like these men, take a step back, and we take a sum of God's goodness in our lives, and in our church, and in our families, and in our building process, I believe that like them, we'll give again. What would it look like on Offering Sunday if we gave according to the sum of God's goodness? We'd probably finish the building. We probably would. Why did they give? Because we said they took a sum of God's goodness. But number two, how did they give? How? Look here, Numbers 31, 50 to 53. We have therefore, because of God's goodness, because of this sum we took, we have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord, what every man hath gotten of jewels. Now, generally in Scripture, if they gave a portion, it would say of what every man hath gotten. But if you look here, what the Scripture says is we have brought what every man. Now, you can debate that. I believe that of the jewels and of the gold, I believe they gave it all. We've therefore brought an oblation for the Lord, what every man hath gotten of what? Of jewels, gold, chains, bracelets, rings, earrings, tablets. They gave it all to make an atonement for our souls. But they had already made an atonement for their souls. God had already said, look, I want this much for this many souls. But they said, we're going to do it again. Look here. And all the gold of the offering we saw that they offered was 16,750 shekels. For the men of war had taken spoil. They had their own and they were willing to give it. See, what's the point? Either way, they gave more than was asked and more than what was expected. More than what was asked and more than what was expected. And we may give different tiers of giving this year, I'm not sure. We may not. But maybe this year, maybe God would work. He doesn't work in anyone else's heart. I want him to work in my heart. Look, I hope, and maybe God would come to us this year and he'd say, look, this year, give a little more than what's asked. This year, give a little more than is expected. Look, and this is where the rubber hits the road. Pastor Myers has told us in staff meetings and before our building kickoff, he said, look, it would be really good. We can really get over the hump if we have a little bit better offering this year than last year. Now, so simple. How are we going to have a better offering this year than last year? If your neighbor gives more? Or if I give more? Look, the way we're going to have a better offering and get into phase one, it'd be real nice if by next year we were in there. You know what? We're going to have a better offering this year if every single one of us strive to give more this year than we did last year. Look, these men gave more than what was asked. They already gave what was asked, but then they went above and beyond because of God's goodness. And then they gave more than what was expected. That's where the rubber hits the road for us. It's easy to count God's goodness. But then here's where it gets practical. I don't know. Maybe we've been saving up for a little nicer vacation this year than the last 5 years. I don't know if anyone is. I have no idea. But maybe God would come to us and maybe God would say, why don't you just clear that out and give it this year? Would Pastor Myers ask you to? I guarantee you, no, he wouldn't. If you asked him, I know him, he would probably say, do something nice with your family. But these guys didn't do that. They gave more than was asked, and they gave more than what was expected. Maybe we've got something set aside for an upgrade to a vehicle or to a house or something like that. I don't know. And maybe God would work on our heart, and he would say, why don't you just give a little bit more than what's asked and a little bit more than what's expected this year? That's what these men did after they saw a sum of God's goodness. Look, we are so close. We're so close. And I want to challenge us this year. Let's ask, Where can we give a little more than what's asked and a little more than what's expected to see this thing done for God's glory? We said, number one, they took a sum. Number two, they gave more than what was asked or expected. Number three, and this one's short and I'm done. What was the result of their giving? Here it is. Their gift was used as a memorial for future generations. Numbers 31:54, Moses, Eleazar, the priest, took the gold. Like I said, I think the preacher will always take the gold. It's a good thing. For God's work and of the captains of thousands and of the hundreds and brought it to the tabernacle of the congregation. Why? What did they use it for? For a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. Can I say this? This building is not just about us. It's not. By the way, we're going to enjoy it. It's going to be nice. You know I like coffee. Okay, I'm fed up with Starbucks and all the stuff that they, and all the rainbow pins that they shove in front of us and all that stuff. I'll be glad when we have our own coffee shop, okay? Ask them to pull me a triple shot after a long day of ministry and chug that thing maybe before the service. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to adult Sunday school space. I'm looking forward to some elbow room on a Sunday night. Man, Sunday night, last Thursday night, all the extra chairs pulled out. It was packed. It'd be nice when we have some extra space. We're going to enjoy the building, but this building's not just for us. This building is for us to leave a legacy, a memorial, and something set in stone for generations to come. Amen. Look, I look forward to seeing my children grow up and be married and go to Bible college and go to school and serve God as a result of us getting into that new building. Yeah. I look forward to seeing more souls saved that can actually fit, amen, as a result of getting in there. Look, our giving on May 20th will be a part of this memorial that we leave to generations to come for all that God has done. Look, Moses said, because you gave this, we're going to use this as a memorial. So when generations to come look, they know that God worked. They know that God's good, and they know your sacrifice. I was watching a clip yesterday in one of, Dan, your class, defending the faith class. And we watched a clip. It was about 10 years ago, and it was Brother Board. They had just gotten back to Cambodia, and he's sharing for one by one. I don't know if you remember that, Brother Myers. You did it. Brother Esposito did it. Brother Board did it. How to win Buddhists to Christ. And I remember yesterday, he came out and he said, a man by the name of Brother Sinat got saved just a couple weeks ago. That was 10 years ago. When he was here the last time, that faithful family that he talked about, how the wife got saved, and all, that was Brother Sinat. That in the video that we watched, when we were here in one by one, we had no concept. This was just some guy, for all we knew, in Cambodia, some Buddhist guy that got saved. He is one of the most faithful soul winners that they have. Amen. Really instrumental. And so here's the question. 10 years from now, by the way, God doesn't want it to stop with him. God wants this thing to go on. Not just here, not just in California, not just in the 10-4, all over the place. God wants this to go on. So here's the question. What clip are we going to watch 10 years from now of people like Brother Sinat and others who were saved as a result of our sacrifice and our giving? Yes. I understand we've given. I understand it's been a little while, but God sure has been good to us. Amen. We take a sum of it, and if we're willing to give a little bit more than what's asked and a little bit more than what's expected, we'll leave a memorial. We'll make a difference, not just now for us, but for generations to come. And so I hope that as we get close that we'll pray. We'll pray. We'll just ask God, what do you want me to do? And we'll do accordingly. Let's stand together, please, and we'll pray.